Okay, good afternoon. Call the House Revenue Committee meeting to order and invite Dick to join us. Our first item on the agenda is a work session on House Bill 2098. Committee members, this is a bill that is already getting worked in Ways and Means. It's got a tiny little revenue component, but by far the biggest impact is the Ways and Means impact. Representative Hill has offered the bill a home in his Subcommittee of Ways and Means, and I have indicated to him that I would be pleased to pass it on to him without recommendation. But for the record, let's open the work session on House Bill 2098 and ask Dick to give us the background.
Morning, Chair. Dick
Gates.
Legislative Revenue Office. The House Bill 2098 deals with the existing law, which deals with the emergency response system. Basically imposes a tax of 75 cents on any line which does have access to 911 emergency response facilities. The money funds some activities by the Office of Emergency Management and also is distributed back to the local public safety access points to help with the total funding of the provision of the emergency response services. What the bill does is to simply extend the sunset on this. That's the only change, which is from December 31st of 2001. It extends that out to December 31st of 2009. I think if you would like, Larry Niswanger of fiscal staff is here to sort of talk a little bit about the background.
Just so we know what we're moving out. Larry, why don't you come on up and give us a quick overview.
Chair Shettle and committee members, for the record, my name is Larry Niswender. I'm a legislative fiscal budget analyst assigned to the state police budget, one of the budget assignments I have. This bill was anticipated during the 1999 session, and during Ways and Means there was a budget note drafted that directed the agency to form a work group to basically focus its efforts on the development of a more coordinated 911 emergency response system and look for ways to increase efficiency and cost effectiveness. The budget note is in some information I put before you. In addition to that budget note, they're required by statute to provide a report on the multiple primary public safety answering points. And both those, a consultant conducted both those reports, and that's really the subject matter of the other committee's review, is to look at those reports, look and see if we're making the most efficient and effective use of technology and the taxes that are being derived, the revenue that's being derived from that tax, and if necessary, provide any legislative direction on how those funds are being used.
Okay. And you want this bill?
Particularly. The co-chairs have requested that Ways and Means get an opportunity to look at it and evaluate whether or not any additional changes to the law are necessary and what impact that may have on the budget.
Okay. All right. Any questions, Dick?
I would point out you do have a revenue impact, which I've done an estimate of what this would generate in the next three bideniums. Extending the sunset is not for a full 2 years in the 2003. The revenue increase as a result would be about $40 million. Then the first full year of implementation is $71.1 million for 2003-2005, and then up to about $80 million by 2005-2007.
Well, we are in work session. The Chair entertained a motion to refer House Bill 2098 to, without recommendation as passage, to the I guess we just move to Ways and Means, and they assign it to their subcommittees, to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Beck?
Can I so move?
You move that. Thank you. Representative Beck moves House Bill 2098 be referred without recommendation as to passage to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion on that motion? Representative Carlson?
Well, I realize we're moving it without recommendation, but I actually was approached by some of my constituents about making the 911 system more coordinated given all of the new technology that we have, and so I'm very supportive of this effort and the reports that are being done, and I'm waiting to take a good look at that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is the second chance I've had to look at this, surprisingly, and I won't have a third. You know, there are a couple things here that should be discussed in Ways and Means. I think they probably will. One is the consolidation of PSAPs, which has not occurred in some of the counties and needs to occur because it'll be more efficient financially and probably be better coordinated. The group that looked at this, the interim, recommended that be done, but also recommended that it be up to the local decision-making process. So I'm not sure that's the proper way to go up the Ways and Means. I'm sure we'll discuss that. And there were some changes also in 3% versus 75 cents per line and what that would produce in revenue properties looked at too, but I would assume the best place for that is Ways and Means. So there's some substantial things that need to be looked at this in this bill yet, but passing it through seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to get a hard look in Ways and Means. I've talked to Representative Hill, and I think he's actually looking forward to spending time with it. Yes. Okay, then please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. House Bill 2098 goes to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation as to passage. Okay, can get that out. Close the work session on House Bill 2098. And let's go into a work session then on House Bill 2778. Elizabeth, we had the public hearing. Do you want to just bring us up to date?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, with House Bill 2778, again, what this particular bill is doing is exempting the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC licenses, from property taxation, and it is going to begin apply to tax years paying on or after July 1st of 2001. So we had a lot of testimony on this on Friday, basically, again, to just help everybody remember, with the revenue impact, you're basically looking at FCC licenses comprising roughly about 16% of the total wireless utility assessed value. And in 2305, it's estimated that local revenues will be reduced by about $4.58 million, and about $5.5 million in 2305, or approximately 40% of that is K-12 school district, where it's about $1.7 million in 2001-03 and about $2.1 million in 2003-05.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, and Paul, you might want to confirm my recollection, this is one that we did have a conversation with Ways and Means on the K-12 issue. They're aware of this bill because it does have an impact, of course, on school funding. Ways and Means is aware of this bill, and the co-chairs have given, I guess that's the point, they're aware of what we're doing down here and what the intended action is. Okay. We are in work session. I'd be happy to entertain a motion and discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I move House Bill 2778 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2778 to the floor with a due pass. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson.
You can tell it's getting towards March because the votes are getting more difficult. And I just wanted to say that my big concern with bills of this nature is not only the K-12 issue, but the county funding. I know that counties provide a great deal of safety net services that the state does not provide alone. In fact, the state oftentimes just brokers services to the county providers. And so I'm going to be very cognizant as we look at these and not just assume because things have a local revenue impact that somehow that's fine. I am going to support this bill, not because I don't think that it ought to be broader, but because I figure this is about as far as we can get during this session. So
okay.
I'm going to put that on the record.
Anybody else?
I better go on the record too, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
This bill directly affected the area which I come from in making it more competitive with other areas for bringing a large business in. We have a large call center now, probably directly as a result of this type of an exemption. And so when I weigh the loss to the counties and I weigh the loss to the general school fund, I also have to think about what it does as far as bringing in family wage jobs and the revenue produced from those also. And that's the reason I will vote for this bill.
Representative Brown.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm going to support this bill, even though I have some reservations in regard to, I think it should be a broader than what it is, and but I will support it in this form. It's starting in the right direction.
Anybody else?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I did look that way. Representative Beck.
Fortunately, I was out of town on Friday during the hearing, and I haven't, while I've had a few brief conversations with people, I have not really had a chance to have a thorough assessment or vetting of this. So today I'm going to err cautiously and vote no.
You got to get Roger Martin's. You at least got to watch Roger Martin's speech on the tape.
Okay. it will all be on the signing page.
I'm open to voting differently on the floor, but I'm always concerned when we are impacting local revenues and money to schools, and sometimes it's okay. But I'd rather see us be working on broader tax reform and having this be a part of whatever package this or other legislatures can come up with. We don't seem to ever quite get the out of the inertia problem around here and get to more comprehensive tax reform, and I think it'd be great to do that and include issues like this, but it also may be merited in isolation. So I'm going to vote no today, and at least have the record on the floor that somebody was cautious, and I'll change my mind later.
Anybody else? Or Representative Williams, you got
to... No, Mr. Chair, I've too much talk, not enough do.
Wait a minute, I sit through your committee.
There's a lot of...
Are you complaining?
Actually, yes.
I will say... I'm holding this up so that our county folks in the back can see this, to let you know that I have this before me as I indicate my support for this bill, my qualified support for the bill, qualified in two respects. Number one, I think it's a case of if it's a good policy, which I think it is a good policy, then I think we ought to, I wish that we could, I think as Representative Carlson said, go all the way with this thing, and irrespective of what Roger Martin told us on Friday. In fact, we have tried that for the last two sessions, and we've done it unsuccessfully. So this is a situation where I think politics being the art of the possible, we've gotten an agreement that this bill will be approved if it's presented to the governor, and I think that's been the point of at which then we do what we can with this. I am not at all unsympathetic to the impact that this has on counties and the state's obligation that undertook as a matter of policy last session in adopting what has been codified in Chapter 306.350 in being responsible to the local governments and districts for actions that we take that have an effect on their funding. And I will certainly maintain or continue conversation with Ways and Means about this. I think that is a ways and means issue, though. I think we have to address this from the revenue issue side, and I think in that respect, this is the right thing to do today. Anything else? Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Page.
Aye.
Bass.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Pass.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Whit.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Atari.
Excuse.
Chair Shatterman.
Aye. House Bill 2778 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have a carrier?
I'll carry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams has it. Okay, that concludes the work session on House Bill 2778. And that brings us to House Bill 2035. Before I open the work session on House Bill 2035, I don't see Doug Barber in the room. Is anybody here representing Sacred Heart's proponents' interest in this bill? That's very curious. We didn't just sneak this onto the agenda yesterday, did we? No, I know. I'll go into work session. I mean, work session on House Bill 2035. Committee, after our last hearing and some subsequent conversations with Mr. Barber on House Bill 2035, I said that I would give him a work session and a vote. Although I was dubious, I think, at that point about the votes on the committee to pass the bill. He had amendments that I understood that he was going to bring to us also are not here. I'm sorry. Those have been distributed, but not here to present. He's not here to present them. Colleagues, if anybody would care to make a motion, I'll entertain a motion. Otherwise, I'll close the work session. We'll be done with this. Representative Witt?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to move the bill to the floor of the DuPass recommendation for the purposes of having a vote on the bill.
Okay. Representative Witt moves House Bill 2035 to the floor of the DuPass recommendation. Do you want to address that before we go forward?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, I listened to the arguments on this, and you know, there may be some merit in the proponent's argument. The problem from my perspective on this is that we had a long, hard discussion, battle over this issue back in 1999. I think this was around for several months during the 99 session. Finally, after a lot of work with local governments that were involved and other interests, we came up with a generally accepted plan in terms of how we could enhance funding for the A&T system. And it included a 10 plus one $11 fee on a broader range of documents. And a number of documents that were included in that plan weren't directly related to real property. I think it'd be a mistake to carve out one exception, Mr. Chairman, to that agreement, that broad-based agreement that we came together with last session. And it kind of opens up a Pandora's box of a lot of other folks who can come in and make basically the same argument. In fact, when I asked Mr. Barber that in our hearing, he said, yes, those other documents should be released under the same argument. So I think it's too early to go back and reevaluate that whole issue. I think we should stay with the broad-based agreement that was reached in 99, which brought some enhanced funding for the A&T system around the state, which is needed and it's necessary. So I'll be voting against this motion that I've brought.
Thank you. Jones, you have the exhibits that we have copied. Why don't we get those to the members? Have those been distributed? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have. No, I have mine. This is something new, I think, that we don't have. As long as we're making the vote, let's get this in the file. This is a listing of, I guess it speaks for itself, and I won't bother Charles or Gil to come forward. This is a list that I asked Charles and Gil to prepare that shows the documents that are subject to the A&T fee and the mapping fee. One page is documents which do not attach to real property, and then documents which may. And on the other side is documents which may attach to real property. It just underscores what Representative Witt was saying, the extent to which other documents are already subject to the fee along with the medical services lien. I guess if this was if this had been a case where we just missed one document, I'd be more inclined to do this, I think, myself. But more clearly, we have a big list of documents that are, for principal purposes, in very much the same boat as the medical services liens. I have a problem pulling those out. Yes.
I think I'm going to vote yes on Representative Witt's motion, and I probably will be in the minority, but first of all, I wasn't part of the discussion last time, so welcome to term limits. I don't have necessarily an ownership in terms of what happened last time, but I was convinced when I heard the testimony initially that there was, in essence, a promise made to a particular group of people or an assurance that they were not in terms of this bill, and that it was simply correcting an error. I hear the Pandora's box argument, but, you know, I've heard that in this body for the last two sessions when I've worked here, and my view on that is that we wouldn't do anything in this body if we said, well, if we just did this one little thing, it's going to open up a million other things. And so I think that as the chairs of committees can be very clear with people that they're not going to entertain any further exceptions, and if bills are proposed, it's not going to unravel. But I also heard testimony from my own Salem hospital here and the impact that it has on just a few hospitals right around the I-5 corridor for a $55,000 biennium impact in local revenues. I am a strong advocate for families for health care services, and I think that in this particular instance, those hospital costs get passed on to the people that have health care services there. And so that's why I'm going to support this, but supporting it clearly with the idea that this would be the only exception that I would be willing to support, and that I view it as a correction of a mistake that happened last session. And not to invoke the good former chair's name, but I had a conversation with him in the hallway, and it was represented to me initially that he agreed with it, which is why he put the bill forward, and he affirmed that with me. So that's another reason that I'm going to continue to support this.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Bates.
Is anyone here who actually was on that committee last time?
Representative Witt and myself, Representative Williams.
Do you have any memory of this being something that was supposed to be exempted at that point, but in fact wasn't?
I don't.
I don't either.
No.
But there are a lot of things about last session I don't remember.
That's right.
All a blur.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think the three of us that were on the committee.
You don't have any memory of that as being something just was a mistake. You meant to put it in there, but it didn't actually occur. You
know, I don't know if it was a mistake, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, I remember having discussion about things that weren't directly related to real property that were within the orbit here of the filing fee. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that this wouldn't have been there, because I think we were well aware of the fact that we were greatly broadening the number of documents that would have the filing fee, including a number of documents that didn't have a direct relationship to the real property tax system. So, I mean, it didn't surprise me to find out that someone was objecting at this point. I don't know that we specifically talked about this particular lien, but we certainly talked about liens like it.
Right. Mr. Chair, if I could, my recollection is that there was a lot of debate about this bill and a lot of discussion about the impact and the need for counties to get additional revenue to fund the assessment taxation function. There was a fair amount of discussion about this was also tied to the preemption of the real estate transfer tax issue. I mean, that's really what the debate centered around, and I don't recall any specific discussion about any of these particular documents per se. There were a lot of parties, the bankers and the collectors, for example, who didn't like the idea of expanding it and having these recording fees placed on additional documents because of the impact it would have to their customers who regularly file and record. That was the tenor of the debate, but there wasn't, as I recall, specific discussion about any of the specific filing documents that I can remember.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I mean, I'd point out to the committee that if we pass this bill, what we're telling the counties is go find some other source of revenue to support your assessment and taxation program, which benefits the entire state. They have to come up with the revenue somewhere. In 99, we spent a lot of time talking about this to find some additional revenues for them to support this essential government service. So if we start letting various documents out of the purview of the 99 statute, we're telling the counties is go tax something else. And, you know, we're shifting some burden somewhere when we do this. The need doesn't go away.
I will say, too, this is the fee that attaches to these documents is at a certain level that works with the number of documents that are subject to the fee. And the funding that is derived from this is specifically identified to assessment and taxation and the mapping system. And so it's one that I'm reluctant to start pulling bricks out of that wall, just because it was so specific to assessment and taxation and the mapping service, and also specific to what the funding requirement was going to be. So,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Beck.
I can't resist a little comment or reflection on our previous vote. And in contrast, if these revenue estimates are right, we're reducing revenue to local governments by $4.5 million and $5.5 million in 2003-05. And it's sort of interesting that when both we're concerned about impacting the county
coffers in this vote. I realize there are different funding programs. It's just that I think it's important to note they're different. I understand, but at some level, you know, and these funds don't all mesh together. But at some level, we're talking about local services, and I'm going to vote against the bill. Mainly, I guess I get a little frustrated with these ongoing discussions of arrangements or deals that were made last session. Majority of this committee was not on this committee last session. Four members, let's see, one, two, three, four members are freshmen to the body. And I think whether that's term limits or some other phenomenon, I think any issue should be open for discussion. And the case that they've made may be a good one, but I do, again, getting back to my comments on the other bill, I think these things need to be done a little more comprehensively. If we're going to do it, we should sit down, take a look at other changes to the assessment and taxation system. There's nothing wrong with us taking a look at that again. If we want, if the chair wants, if leadership wants, we can do that. But we, doing it one document at a time, I'm not sure makes a lot of sense, whether it was errant last session or not. If we want to start making some changes, we should look at things a little more comprehensively, whenever we can. We don't always do it that way here. But anyway, I'm going to vote no, and maybe this can come back. I'd be open to this coming back if some broader proposal is put together that makes some sense.
All right. Anybody else? I appreciate your comments. I suppose if there is an appearance of inconsistency, it's one that the counties are probably relieved we're going to be inconsistent.
Yes, sure.
At this time around, please don't be consistent.
Mr. Chairman, I just need to point out for the record that this bill and the previous bill are targeted at different things.
That's right.
The intangibles bill relative to the FCC licenses has to do with an issue of competitiveness and fairness with a private industry. And a competitive barrier, frankly, here in Oregon. And I wish we could address the whole intangibles issue. But I would point out to my good friend, the representative from Northwest Portland, that yes, one brings revenue, one takes away revenue, but they have different policy objectives in mind.
I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's vote.
Representative
Tate? No.
Bass?
No.
Brown?
No.
Bass?
No.
Williams?
No.
Weah?
No.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Aye.
Safari?
Excused.
Chair Shatterman?
No. House Bill, the motion fails, and I guess that's all there is to say about House Bill 2035. We'll conclude the work session, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.